In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Home hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my hat and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. This is a big day because this is our first day in the Odyssey family, and that means we're going to be able to share the Yankees-Red Sox message to the broader world. John Senecal, along with Brian Shackman here. Welcome aboard, John.
It's great. Big difference going from a basement to a studio. No green screen.
No.
Anymore.
And we're going to work on getting it on YouTube, but we just got to take baby steps. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the draft real quick.
Yep.
And then we're going to do a bit of a first half summary, in which within that we're going to do our MVP for each team, biggest disappointment, and then we're going to jump into projections for the second half.
You said disappointment or disappointments?
Well, I think the hard part is what we're going to do is make one.
Okay, so that's going to be tough for me.
Well, I know what it should be for you, but I'm going to wait till you talk about that.
I know what
that.
You're going to say. His biggest supporter, I know that.
Everybody knows how I feel about the Yankees' chances with one particular person in the lineup. Let's talk quickly about the draft here, because I was into it. It's not as exciting as the NFL, but they tried to do it in that style.
They changed it up. It's not in June anymore.
It was pretty good, and I think there's two things to consider. Listen, the Yankees picked 24th. I mean, it's a shortstop deep draft, but let's just get it out of the way right now. He's good, but who knows?
Yeah, well, the Yankees and Red Sox both took shortstops.
The
Yankees,
right, but the Red Sox got a potential top pick, and you guys picked a good player, but 24th in the round.
A college guy, though, so he has some polish. But the good thing about him, so Trey Sweeney, shortstop out of Eastern Illinois, he went to college and got better. And he also moved up the draft board in this combine that they did, which was new this year. He was one of the fastest guys, they said, that rose up through there. So I don't know if that factored into it, but they do say he's a great hitter. But the interesting thing about him is he was ranked number 68 in the state of Kentucky coming out of high school. So he went to college and became a top first round draft pick. So that's pretty impressive. So it goes to show you that maybe, you know, for some guys, they do need to go to college.
Right. And maybe, you know, he has a higher ceiling than even right now. I think the drama was that Jack Leiter, who everyone assumed the Red Sox would take at 4, the pitcher for Vanderbilt, went number 2. And
one expected Marcelo Mayer to be available.
Well, I mean,
the assumption was one or two.
Right. The assumption was that he would go high. And so he dropped to the Red Sox at 4. So all the Red Sox fans are excited. I just find it strange. And this wasn't talked about. I mean, he's 18. Who knows? He might end up as a left fielder. You just never know. But, you know, he's 18. And I figure for a position player, he's going to spend at least 3 to 4 years in the system, right?
Most likely, yeah.
You figure, you know, like, rookie ball, high A, double A, major. Say that's if he has a great trajectory, right?
Right.
But they're about to sign Bogaerts a potentially 6 to 8 year deal.
Right.
And so he is the shortstop potentially of the future, but the timing they had to take him because he was the best player available, but the timing might not be quite right.
Right.
I mean, because he might be ready in 3 years and Bogaerts will be 34 or 5 and still may be playing well. So I just wonder what that means for a collision course.
You also got to look at it too, that in high school, I don't know how great East Lake High School is where he's from, but usually your best players are your shortstop, your catcher, your pitcher.
Sure.
So chances are he's probably the best player on his team.
But, go ahead.
And, you know, he's a shortstop. So chances are the guy that the Yankees took, Sweeney, is a shortstop too. And they're already saying he's probably going to be a third baseman.
So that's my point, though. They already said that about Sweeney.
They haven't said that. They weren't
talking about that with Meyer. So
I think they're just too excited they got him at 4. And he grew up a lifetime Yankees fan, and all of a sudden he's the biggest Red Sox fan in the world.
Well, that's fine.
I mean, would too if you had about $7 million coming your way.
Well, you had Frank Mazzucato from where we are in Connecticut, who grew up a Yankee fan, and now he's
a Royal.
A big Royal fan. So I want to just break down this story because I think it's fascinating. The kid wasn't on anyone's radar a year ago.
Right.
Then all these scouts start sniffing around Connecticut because he's a lefty and throws in the low 90s. And then they say high second round, low first round, and then boom, all of a sudden.
But what he did while they were sniffing around is the reason why he jumped so high. The kid threw four no-hitters in a row.
Right, but everyone else says Connecticut baseball stinks.
Right, and that's exactly what I told my son. He was like, oh, this kid's amazing. This kid's amazing. I watched him pitch online. We didn't go to the game. I watched him pitch in the final game. I think he struck out 15 batters in the state championship game. And, I mean, he was just dominant. And what they say the best thing about him is his curveball.
Right.
His spin rate on his curveball is insane. And he never really was a pitcher. They said, well, hey, you're a lefty, you should pitch. You're a lefty, you should pitch. And he just got better and better and better and better.
And then all of a sudden he ends up going seventh. And I was saying this to some other people, like, think about it. Of all the college programs in the country, all the high school stars,
yep,
there's only six players picked ahead of this guy.
Right.
I mean, it's incredible.
And he was going to go to UConn. Well, he still could go to UConn.
He's not going to go to
no,
UConn.
Well,
so that's
not
the fact. The other element here in terms of people who are listening who may or may not understand the nuances, the Royals basically felt him out to see what it would take to sign him. So they wanted to A, see if he'd sign, B, how much, because I think that one of the reasons he went so high is that he kind of promised that he would sign for a little less than
right.
the max. So the Royals could have some more money in the pool to sign some of their other
traffics. I wonder if he's related to the Mazzucato.
He is. Cousins.
Okay, so it's not so much a money thing.
No, but I mean, millions are millions.
Millions are millions.
Let's be honest.
Exactly.
And he's going to make his own money. But
he's
got
to go for it.
If you said to me, if I said to you, would you take a couple hundred thousand less to be picked in the top 10 as opposed to in the second round or the late in the first round, I, even if I was poor, I would still take it.
Right. Right.
I just would. So the fact that he went top 10, he's still going to make more money than if he was picked 30th.
And I don't even think he thought he was going to go that high. I mean, everyone projected him like late first round, even right. possibly second round.
Listen, high school pitchers are the biggest risk in the draft. We all know that. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know about when he's going to get this Tommy John surgery. You don't know about his mental makeup. No, but like historically, going back to even before Brian Taylor, I mean, just like whatever. It's the biggest risk factor. So, I just thought it was a great story because Connecticut had not had, you know, a player pick that high since Bobby Valentine in 1968.
Yeah.
So it just shows you how big a deal it is in this part of the country. Now, if you're in California or Florida, it's no big deal, or Texas, that stuff happens all the time.
Right.
It just doesn't happen all the time up here. So, okay, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. So let's jump into it. Before we get into, you know, the second half, because the Yankees and Red Sox play a lot coming out of the gate in the second half.
Eight times in the first
so
10
it's,
days.
And you know what? The Yankees season is going to basically be determined in the first 2 weeks of the second half. But I don't want to I want to talk about the first half. Just give me a quick thought on the first half for the Yankees.
Garbage. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
It's
obviously,
just a single
listen,
word.
We talked about the whole roller coaster thing, up and down, up and down, up and down. But there's been way more downs. And then you just, it's like,
you keep expecting them to like wake up and
right.
then just go on, you know, 11 to 12, and
it's
then
like gut punch after gut punch,
right?
You know, and then you know, you're going for a series sweep against Houston, and what happens to you? Tatuve gets you.
Well, how great was that, though? The whole Aaron Judge Tatuve,
it's insane. And then, you know, they're putting the jackets on, it's like in the dugout, it's like you can't, like, one step forward, two steps back all the time this season with them.
Yeah.
And listen, like, no confidence in Chapman, right? Like, he's not coming in. Loaiza is out for COVID. He would have been your guy to come in and get you to the ninth, right? But it's just like nothing is working out for this team. That's the way I look at it. Nothing is working out for them at all. Like, at all. I mean, maybe Cole's going to turn it around after the whole spider tack thing and all
well,
that.
Well, he had a great outing going into the break, so
right.
we'll see
one
about
outing,
that. I like the fact that, you know, the Yankees and Red Sox still is Yankees and Red Sox, but I think Yankees-Astros is a good rivalry for baseball
it's
right
crazy.
Now.
It's crazy. I was almost thinking at in this part of the season and the way baseball is now, it's almost a bigger rivalry intensity than it is with the Red Sox.
I think that's true.
Just because there's more of like, almost more of a hatred, where like the Red Sox and Yankees
well, they kind
overall
of, Yankee
have been,
fans, don't you feel like they stole something from
well,
you?
Absolutely. I think Yankees fans, Dodgers fans, I think baseball fans in general think they stole something. I mean, it just feels like, you know, baseball is always throwing something at us. You know, there's some cheating scandal or something in the last 15, 20 years is always coming at us. But I think the thing that with the Astros in 2017 is just, I think that left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, regardless of who you are, except unless you're an Astros fan.
Right. Plus, I think Dodgers-Yankees World Series would have been
awesome.
Incredible.
Would have been awesome.
Very quickly, and my take on the Red Sox is they overachieved. I think every time they go on a little bit of a losing streak, I think the wheels are going to come off, and they haven't. They lost four or five going into the break, but they're still hanging on. I think that when I look at what they need to do to win 90 games, I'm amazed. They basically can play sub five. If they play 500 ball from the rest of the year, they're going to win 90 plus games and make the playoffs, period. Right. So all they have to do is play average baseball to make the playoffs, whereas the Yankees have to tear. They have to tear it up.
And
so
we talked about this a little while ago, that the way they were hitting, their pitching just has to be average, right? And it's been better than average.
Right. And if you get sailed back.
If it drops down a tier and you just stay with the status quo, you're going to be fine. And again, yep, here we go again. Here comes Sale possibly.
So let's talk about the projections in a minute. Quickly, your MVP of the Yankees first half, then give me your biggest disappointment. Just one disappointment. Don't give me seven.
I won't give you seven. I feel like I could go with two MVPs, but if you want me to go with just
pick
one?
You got
to
pick one.
All right, listen.
You can like qualify it a little, but give me one.
All right, I'll go with just Aaron Judge as the MVP. Just because, A, he stayed on the field, right?
Kind of.
Well, no, he's probably only missed like four games.
Okay.
Like his lower body issues and, you know, rest issues, I think gets blown way out of proportion. He hasn't really missed that many games. He's my MVP with honorable mention to Spider Tack Cole.
And your biggest disappointment, and you know who I feel.
Well, I know who you're going to pick, but I'm going to go with Torres. He's just
over Aroldis Chapman.
Yes, because listen, dude, you live and die as a closer, and the only reason that it's personified so much in New York is because you were blessed with Rivera for so long. Every closer sucks eventually.
And you tell me you think you have faith in him?
No.
Okay.
Not right now, obviously, right? But what's your other alternative? You're not going to trade the guy. Who's going to take him?
Nobody.
Exactly. So you either sit him in the dugout and let him pout or in the bullpen for $20 million a year or $18 million, whatever he's making, or you're going to throw him out there. Like the other day, well, we're going to wait for when the right opportunity. Well, you think a 5-run lead might have been a right opportunity, right?
Right.
And they didn't do it. So obviously they have zero confidence in him.
Yeah, I wonder how it's going to end up. I wonder what's going to happen if they're going to make a move there. I really do, because I think there's a lost confidence
there.
Well,
here's the deal. I mean, like we talked about, coming out of the break, the Yankees are in a buzzsaw, right? Yep. They could be in a total buzzsaw, right? So they could be totally out of it by the time the trading deadline comes. So that is basically your barometer, right, for what the Yankees are going to do. The first 10 games out of the break is their season.
Yep.
Are they going to be in it? And they're going to make a deal, or are they going to be out of it and they're going to sell?
Well, let's pause on that. I want to give you mine real quick. I think my MVP, it's funny because since you gave a qualifier, I think Devers statistically has been just a revelation. But I just think the steady, quiet confidence of Bogaerts is just so important. And I know people still look at him as a rookie type figure, because he came in so young, but he's been around a while. He's not young, and I just love the way he leads. And he's obviously batting well over 300. He's got a ton of hits. He's got decent power.
There's
nothing
wrong with being a quiet leader.
No, and I love that about him. And I think that he and Cora let the other players have fun. And I just think he's great, and I love him. So,
well, he is your guy you build around. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You know, JD Martinez isn't going to be there 4 years from now.
No, and plus, I just think that JD Martinez is about JD Martinez. And I don't mean that negatively, because in baseball, that can help you. If you're selfish, you can still help the team. And the negative side is a guy I cheer for. I really want Bobby Dalbec to be good. If he can develop into a power hitter, I think it would be incredible for that team, especially if they kept him in the bottom third of the lineup. But, you know, if you're batting 219 and you really haven't been able to string together some consistency and you're striking out close to 100 times in the first half of the season, I'm not ready to write him off, but I think he's a huge, huge
That's what I was going to ask you. So is that a major concern for them? Are they going to have to replace him? I mean, again, trading deadline within 2 weeks coming up.
I think he's a guy that he has incredible value for another team. Like, I think of, you know, players that go to places like, I don't know if Travis Shaw is a good example, but other players that sort of had moments here, but then were able to shine elsewhere. I think he would do very well in a small market.
Right.
And the chance to just get his at-bats and thrive. So, I mean, if I were a GM for another team and I had a reliever and I stunk and they gave me Dalbec, I would take that in a heartbeat. But I think it would be a bummer because I like the kid.
Can they replace him internally?
I mean, Chavis could take a spot.
You love Chavis.
Huh?
You love Chavis.
I just think
Brock Holt.
I don't think he's good enough to start, but I would take Brock Holt in a heartbeat. But anyway, so those are my two. And I mean, I hope Dalbec can square it away, but I do think he would be a great piece to ship in a trade. So that's that. All right, John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports here. Just let's flip it. Let's tell me, you gave a little bit of sense about how important you think the Yankees are coming out of the gate, but tell me what you think will happen.
What do I think will happen? All right, so they're 8 games out.
They're 8 games out. They're 46-43, so that's 89 games, so that's 73 left. Right, you have 73 left.
Say they split with the Sox, right? That puts them 12 out. Right?
No, if they split with the Sox.
They stay.
Yeah, it'd be stay the same.
They're still 8 games out.
I mean, they have to go.
They're in trouble, dude. There's not.
There's 73 games. They got to win like 50 of them.
It's not a good scenario. So I'm gonna say it again. Your first 10 games out of the break is what determines your season. All right.
They're only 4.5 out of the wild card, but they got a bunch of teams to leapfrog.
Right. And I don't see Gleyber Torres all of a sudden turning his season around. And
why just do you
all
think he's such a key? Like, I don't even pay attention to the guy anymore.
Right. Well, here's the deal. Why is he a key? Because when you play in New York, when you're not playing good, that's what people focus on. And when if you're gonna sit there and they're gonna beat you up over it, that's gonna affect you. I don't care who you are. All right. It's just gonna affect you. When the microscope's on you, he needs to play better. Right? All of a sudden, everyone thinks Gary Sanchez has played better. Yes, he has some good home runs and stuff. The dude's still batting .218.
Right.
All right.
Don't tell me what they need. I want to know what you think they're going to do.
The way they're going now, and that they don't have any mojo or anything going and coming out of the break, I think they're going to just keep doing what they're doing, dude. Just same old.
So they're a 500 team.
They don't have the pieces, and I don't think people are going to be willing to give them what they need if they can do it. Who are they going to give up?
No, so as it stands, I mean, your caveat is if they come out hard and they win some games, they got a chance. But your instinct
is they don't make the playoffs. 7 out of 8 against the Red Sox and all of a sudden flip their season around, their momentum's going to be insane, right? Because they play the Phillies in between two of those games.
Right.
Right? Two games against Philly. Any team's momentum is going to be nuts. If you're going to win 7 out of 8 against the Red Sox, I think you would have some hope that you got some momentum going and you're going to turn it around, you're going to make some deals. But let's be realistic, right? The way the Yankees have been playing and what they have shown, that's not going to happen.
Right. At what point is it this is what they are?
And the Boone can tell you again, well, we're putting together this, putting together that. Eventually, you can't put it together. The train has left the station.
I think I want your take on the Red Sox. I think the Yankees are done. And I think Boone is gone. And I just, that's what I think is going to happen. Now, I think Boone's a good guy. Do I always quote unquote, I never hate anybody, but do I hate him because of 03? Sure. I mean, and I don't wish ill will on anyway. I don't want anyone to lose their job, although I know that Aaron Boone's got plenty of money. But I do think that the team isn't well constructed from a chemistry standpoint, and he's not the right guy to navigate it, period, full stop. So as for the Red Sox, I think Tampa probably will pass them. No, not necessarily to the end of the season. And to me, the Dalback kind of trade rumor thing, if Sale comes back and can be decent as a lefty, I think that's huge. And I think that if they could find some bona fide help in the bullpen or bench hitter, I think that they should make a move like that. And I think that come September, I think they will be dangerous. I do. I think they will make the playoffs. I can't tell you they're going to win the division, but I think that they're going to get at least one of the wild cards, and I think it's the type of team that can go deep.
I just can't understand how the Rays are still so good. I don't get it. I just don't get it. They lose Glass now. I mean, there's something going on. There's something in the water in Tampa.
Yeah, but also, you know, they don't make mistakes. You know what
well,
I mean?
They're also a young team. They have the Yankees aren't a young team. They're like I said, they're not built right either.
But there's plenty of young teams that stink to high heaven just because they have no experience.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks suck too. they also don't have any pitching. Like a lot of it comes to pitching. So
that's my prediction. What's your take on the Sox though? Like before we wrap it up.
Like I told you, man, Kiki Hernandez and the mojo.
But do you think they're a playoff team?
Yeah, absolutely. That team is playing too good. They got too many things right with them for it to go wrong. And if you get Chris Sale back and he's a shell of himself, again, like you, Dalback could be exposed in the playoffs, obviously. Maybe you got to fix that. But dude, if that's your biggest worry,
then you're doing pretty good.
Right. I don't think Nathan Eovaldi, who probably could be the All-Star Game starter, I don't know, when was the last time he started? He could probably be your starter. You could technically have your left side of the infield and the starting pitcher be the Red Sox.
That's right. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. The show is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We're so excited to be part of the Odyssey family and let this go. And if you want to hit us, what's the Twitter handle again?
At Fanbase Podcast.
If you want to come on the show, you think you're worthy of it, or if you have any show ideas, we're going to start to have more guests related to the rivalry and baseball in general. And so we will see you next time on Fanbase, a deep dive.